Hello, this is Robert Rickover. I'm an Alexander Technique teacher in Lincoln, Nebraska. I also teach in Toronto, Canada. My guest today is Tessa Viotti. I hope I got that right. Who is
close.
Who is an artist and an Alexander Technique teacher living in Milan, Italy. And our conversation today is going to be part of a series that I've been doing about how people have used the Alexander Technique, the principles of the Alexander Technique, to help them recover from surgery, or in Tessa's case, surgeries. And she's going to talk about that. Tessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's wonderful. I've followed some of your series, and I think they're immensely useful.
Well, thank you. And thank you for taking the time to do this. Before we get into surgery and Alexander Technique, could you tell our listeners in a sentence or two, what is this thing we're talking about, this Alexander Technique?
It's interesting because it really is challenging because it encompasses so much. But if I could put it in a nutshell, you could say it's an educational process. Mm-hmm. And through a series of lessons, you learn how to work more consciously with what you do in your everyday activities. And this helps you to do things in a better way.
In a better way might be less unnecessary effort, more efficient ways of moving through
absolutely.
Space. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So could you say a little bit about the surgeries you had to start with, and then how the technique, because you had some pretty serious surgery, right?
Yes.
Surgeries and what, I believe you said you were on an Alexander training course when that began. So tell us a little about the surgeries and how what you were learning about the technique was helped you to deal with that.
Yes, in fact, unfortunately, I didn't know about the technique when I was younger and I had spinal surgery. Mm-hmm. But because I was in the training when I had these other surgeries, there were a series of about 5 surgeries over 3 years because of cancer. I was in my training at that stage to become a teacher, which had to be interrupted, and I finished later. But I did have a sense of the technique at that time, which helped me enormously in my approach to the surgeries and managing myself over the years.
Mm-hmm. And could you say a little bit about that? What issues presented themselves to you that the Alexander Technique could help with, and just a little more detail about that?
Well, I think, for instance, when you even receive such a diagnosis and then you know you're about to go in for a pretty extreme operation, mm-hmm. I think one of the most useful principles is working with your reaction. Mm-hmm. And being able to look after yourself in that moment with how you approach the whole thinking, because so much of the technique, you're wanting to look after yourself in how you approach things, how you think. And that would prepare me a lot for the operations. Even just dealing with the news of an operation, it helped enormously.
So I assume it was your experience that apprehension manifested itself as some physical tightening in your body.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. There was, you know, obviously your emotions, your whole physical body goes into a highly reactionary, tense state.
Right.
And to be able to know how to work with that mm-hmm. is hugely useful.
And in terms of working with that, could you go into a little more detail of, so you, I assume at various times during the day, you would notice, boy, I'm really tightening up, right?
Yes.
I can feel, I'm worried, I can apprehensive, but I can also physically feel it.
Yes.
What would you do at that point that would help?
Well, I think one of the most useful procedures that even today serves me, because I think even post-operatively, your body has to adapt, change, live in a different way with the impact of surgery. So even today I use it, and I used it then a lot, is the procedure of constructive rest, lying down.
And it's a very specific way of lying down. Maybe you could describe that a little bit.
Yes. You obviously support your head on books, mm-hmm. or you're supporting your neck curve on books, mm-hmm. on the floor, mm-hmm. With your legs bent, so in a semi-supine position. Mm-hmm. And with the support of the floor, there really is a sense that you can allow gravity to lengthen and widen you, and the whole nervous system starts to calm. Mm-hmm. One can also work with really not tightening around the neck and the head and the shoulder area. And the support of the bent legs just allows the lower back to release as well. Mm-hmm. So generally, you give your whole body some support, and it allows the tightening to release.
Right, you're putting yourself in a very different orientation to gravity, and yes. Of course you do that when you lie down at night to sleep. But with constructive rest, usually it's a fairly firm surface you're lying on, so you get feedback from the ground.
Yes, you definitely need to be on the floor.
Yeah, and you have a configuration with your knees bent and support yes. under your head that tends to encourage expansion.
Yes.
Excuse me, which is what you need when you're contracting.
Yes, because the reaction and the holds that you go through and are enormous.
Right.
So very much psychophysically and emotionally.
Right. And so when you were doing the constructive rest, I assume perhaps when you got up from it and would walk around, you might notice that you weren't as tense, physically tense. And did that translate pretty obviously into a better emotional state?
Definitely. There was, it was like I was in a sense of more calm, you know, more trust as well, because I think when you have, you know, major surgeries, trusting the whole process, trusting, you know, what you're going to go through. So definitely I felt much more supported both in myself and with what was going to happen.
And I think as an aside here, we might say that for anyone who is contemplating surgery, constructive rest is something you can learn to do pretty much on your own. I mean, there are some pretty detailed instructions on
yes.
On my website and other places. I'll put a link to some of that. That's something that's available to anybody, with or without an Alexander teacher.
Yes, definitely.
It's a deceptively simple process, but a very powerful one, I would say. So I think that's worth mentioning.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what are some other Alexander ideas or principles that you brought to bear over the course of these surgeries?
I think the other area that is definitely of use is Alexander's approach to breathing. Mm-hmm. Because I think, I mean, also in the constructive rest, when you lie, so much of your breathing shifts also. Mm-hmm. But his approach to breathing and not holding the breath. Mm-hmm. And he does have a simple procedure using, you know, a bit of sound, the whispered R. Mm-hmm. Being able to release your breath, allowing also less hold in the whole body. Mm-hmm. That was very helpful.
And that's something that probably it would be good to have a teacher help you with, I think, whispered on and breathing. The whole Alexander approach to breathing is kind of fundamentally, I think, different from things like breathing exercises. Typically, it's more like just get out of the way and yes. let the breathing happen, as opposed to trying to micromanage it, which I think yes. some systems would have. So that was helpful. Yes. Any other specific things that you can think of that were useful during that period?
I think also after surgery, when one's in a lot of pain reaction, mm-hmm. I think there the constructive rest is also very useful to. Mm-hmm. Not react on top of the pain that one is feeling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that I worked with a lot.
So it's not an instant fix, this work.
No, definitely.
We have to be really clear about that. This is not a therapy. It's an educational process, basically. And anything else you'd like to say to somebody who is either facing surgery or knows someone who's facing surgery or has recently had surgery who's watching or listening to this?
I know that maybe someone won't have the time necessarily to go for lessons, but I think it's very useful as a supportive process after surgery.
Or before.
I was just going to say, yeah. As you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, even to do some constructive rest prior to surgery is useful. I do think it's a very, very empowering process to know how to look after yourself. I think that the body has immense ability to heal, and we need to give it support in order to do that. I found the miraculous healing that happened incredible. Yeah. But I know being able to give myself support or the support of a teacher that can guide you. Mm-hmm. Is immensely useful also for long-term management.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah. I think it would be useful to say here that sure, it would be really great to have some lessons before surgery. I think mm. you would agree with that. And after, but bear in mind that it's a learning process. And if you're in a lot of pain, that's probably not the optimal time to actually have lessons. Constructive rest,
definitely,
for sure.
I agree with you. Constructive
rest, but not you can do right away, and that would be great to learn ahead of time, or you could learn it afterwards. But in terms of actually taking lessons, you need to be able, basically, you need to be able to think and pay attention.
Yes.
And if you're in a lot of pain, that's...
No, I only went back to training years later. Uh-huh, I went back to my classes a long time after. My mention of the pain is also in the constructive rest, where when you have that release from the breath, it really helps you to support yourself when you're in the pain.
And also, lying on a firm surface, you learn about your back and where it is. A lot of people really don't have a very clear concept of that. So that's another aspect.
Yes. Yes.
Anything else you want to?
Especially if you're having surgery which involves your organs, you want that wonderful length and space within the trunk, the abdomen.
Organs thrive when they're not being crushed.
Exactly.
To put it bluntly.
Exactly. So in the movement, when you start to walk again and move around, just allowing that length.
Right. Yes. Right. Anything else you want to add to what we've talked about?
Well, I'd love to just add a quote of Alexander's.
Mm-hmm. That's F. Matthias Alexander, the developer of, originator, let's say, of our work. Yeah.
Okay. He is the, he says there is only one way of saying what the work is and what we are doing. We are giving nature her opportunity. This is a definition aligned for growth and change.
That's one of my favorite quotes of his.
Yeah,
and it really captures what it's all about, that we as teachers, for example, are not creating a better person in our students. We're opening up the possibilities that were there to start with, but have been kind of covered over by habitual patterns of movement.
Yes.
And of course, those patterns can get exacerbated by surgery.
Yes. Yeah. Because I think we can build up patterns after surgery.
Yes.
If we don't keep allowing ourselves to support our systems in a lengthened and widened way.
Exactly. And years and years ago, I had a very minor surgery in a doctor's office. It was basically a cyst right about here. And it was no big deal. When we went in, he removed it, sent it off for a test. I was astonished at how much pulling in I was doing from that. And I knew nothing of the Alexander technique, but I was kind of struck by that. And of course, now as an Alexander teacher, I can see, wow, if you did that for a few weeks after even a simple operation, part of that could be a pattern that you'll keep way beyond any usefulness it might have had. Yeah.
Exactly. It's almost like post-surgery patterning.
Yeah. And that's not something you want to hang on to.
No, you don't want to. No.
Right. Okay, well, I think this is a good place to end our conversation. My guest today has been Tessa Viotti.
Yes,
Viotti, an Alexander Technique teacher living and teaching in Milan. I will put a link to a website where you can get some information about her. Tessa, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Robert. It's an absolute pleasure.